The podcast you're about to listen to is part of the Professional Casual Network. To find more podcasts like this, please check out professionalcasual.com.
Yeah, I'll have a large extra butter popcorn, and she'll have snow caps? Really? Snow caps? They taste like cardboard. Okay.
Come along, it's time for you to listen to the interview from DC to MCU. It's time for Rundown Reviews. Rundown Reviews. Rundown Reviews.
All right.
Hi, everyone. Well, hold on. We gotta say this. We have a
the sad news.
Chuck couldn't be with us today. He has come down with a case of pussyitis, and he's got a stomach bug. So I'm gonna get yelled at for that later. And I love it.
Oh, see, I thought the pussyitis was because it was a hot chick that served him the food.
That's a good point. Good point. Yeah, he got some food poisoning. He couldn't make it today. So you're stuck with just Ron and I. We're going back to like the basics. Back to.
This is old school shit right here.
Who needs Chuck? Except for that he's actually kind of fun and we like him.
Yeah, we are going to miss you, Chuck. Especially, I'm sure you would have had some great things to say about this movie. I am going to cover one of those for him. Joey, do you have any idea how much money you cost me?
I know I cost me $2.49 because I had a $1.50 credit.
Well, I guess that's true. You and Chuck always seem to have credits on there, and I don't understand it, but...
Because I buy shit on Amazon way too much.
Gotcha.
And I make sure I purposely do the, like, later delivery to get that $1 or $2 or $1.50 credit, and then it just keeps adding up. So it's nice.
Oh, I didn't know you could do that. That's interesting. Yeah.
Like, instead of getting the package, like, tomorrow, I could delay it until, like, Friday and get a promotional credit, which I then use for a movie, like this movie we just watched, A History of Violence from 2005, and I'm not paying $4 to rent it. I'm only paying $2.50.
That's fair.
So, but yes, we are here. I'm here. I'm Joe, obviously the host. We got Ron.
Hey, everybody.
We're going to try and do what Chuck does, because that is purely Chuck, and we can't imitate Chuck. It's just impossible.
Oh, we could absolutely imitate Chuck. We could be like, oh, ladies and germs and squirrels and boys and all you other people out there.
Because that's part of Elite Eight that is.
Oh, that's right. That's might be back yet. Well, by the time this comes out, it might be back yet.
I mean, last time we talked, he still hasn't recorded anything because Tim keeps dodging him for whatever reason.
Tim didn't think it was actually going to happen. That's the thing.
Probably. What it should be. I understand it's. The dynamic is Chuck and Tim, but I think he should bring it to us. I think we should be the host because we kind of kept Chuck relevant. And I'm just saying, like, pay it forward, man. Like, bring it back. Chuck, I know you're listening to this. You listen to our episodes. We don't, but you listen to us. So
sometimes I listen to them.
I don't. I listen to the, like I said before, I listen to it when I edit it, but that's the only time.
I feel like that counts.
It does. I mean, as I say edit, I don't really take anything out. So, but whatever. But no. So we watched The History of Violence. This was the first time I've watched this movie.
Same.
First time for you. I remember when this came out. It was, I really wanted to see it, not because it was a comic book movie. I didn't know about that. I wanted to see it because this was kind of at the height of Viggo Viggo's popularity. You know, he's fresh off of Lord of the Rings. Hidalgo came out before this, and I actually enjoyed Hidalgo. I thought that was a decent movie.
Yeah, it was good. And I actually thought you were going to say you wanted to see it because Maria Bello gets naked in it, but you know.
I mean, she doesn't get naked, but yeah, that was kind of hot. No, like it was 2005. Was I married? Yeah, I was still married at the time. So, like...
Yeah. Yeah, because that would have been...
Bella was born in 06, so...
Yep.
Like, it was just one of those things where I'm like, I can go see this movie, but I just never got around to it. And then when it came out on... Back then, VHS, this was the last movie to be made in VHS, to be released in VHS.
I was wondering, because it would have been really close to the time where they just were like, fuck VHS, we're not doing it anymore.
Well, yeah, like, I know Jordan and I complained about it, I think in Phantom Menace, that the Revenge of the Sith, which came out also in 2005, did not get released on VHS, and that was the last one that I needed to complete my collection. I had VHS and DVD of all of them, but no, they can't put VHS out for Revenge of the Sith. Can't take my money. Us Star Wars nerds would buy that. Yeah, loser.
No, 100%. Anyway. It was really shitty that they didn't release. If you're going to release a trilogy and you're going to release two of them in one kind of format, you need to release them all in that kind of format.
Correct. I don't care if that format is dead or dying. Yeah. Like, the format's even dying, sure. But, like, DVDs are still around. And, like, yeah, everybody's kind of going to Blu-ray.
Right? And they would have still made their money on that.
Exactly.
Like, you can't... Because not everybody by that time had switched over to DVD yet.
Exactly. Like, I had DVD and VHS player, sure, but, like, it... I still was buying the VHSs, and I was extremely happy. If I'm not even going to watch the VHS, I can have it on my shelf with the other five, because I had the original trilogy too. But nope, yep. I got episodes 1 and 2, not 3, and then 4, 5, and 6 for on VHS. Really annoying. Anyway, we can bitch about that in like 2 months when we get to Revenge of the Sith. But we're talking about History of Violence.
Okay, so the beginning of this movie, when it opens up, right? We got the two like dudes that are like on the run or whatever.
Something like that, yeah.
And they're at this motel. And he tells the guy, he's like, okay, he's like, I'm going to go check out. Why don't you pull the car up to the office?
Yeah. And 20 feet away?
Yeah, so he walks away. And then the guy gets in the car and he like kind of throws a fit about it. And then pulls up 10 feet and stops again. And I'm just what the fuck?
Like, turns off the car. Like, you're wasting gas. I understand it's 2004 or 5 when everything was made, but like, Jesus, dude, what are you doing?
But even then, I mean, gas was like fucking $4 a gallon back then.
Back then, yeah. Because we were just beginning our forever war.
Yeah. But no, but like, so he gets out of the car, or he parks the car there, which is 10 feet away from their fucking motel room. And then the guy comes out and he's like, I need some water. Go fill this thing up. And then the dude goes in there and there's just dead people in there.
Well, did you get mad that he went to the water cooler and not just grab one of the jugs out of the actual cooler that were full and probably sealed?
Simon and I both made that exact statement.
Yeah. Yeah. That was annoying.
Those guys were not smart.
Especially when the second guy walks in. And I'll give him props for checking the payphone, because I remember, I think you almost have to every time you walk by a payphone. And payphone, everybody, is all you younger audiences, is phones that were located just places that you had to pay money to use, usually like a quarter. But I laughed at that. But then you're right. As soon as he starts to go in and get the water, he's putting his hands on the door. He's putting his hands
everything,
literally on the water cooler, like on literally everything.
The trophy, like he goes and picks up the trophy and then sets it back down.
It's like the worst criminals ever, not trying to cover their tracks. And I'm wondering if that was one of those things where they were just too cocky and was like, "Well, we're never gonna get caught. They're not gonna follow us."
Like, they even said, like, oh, yeah, we got to stay in small towns, keep a low profile because, you know, we don't want to get caught. Blowing and then yet they're murdering people
in a motel is not really staying a low profile.
Well, especially like, you know, that they probably did that at every place.
Exactly.
Well, so they're just leaving a trail to them.
I think when Tom kills them in the diner and the reporters are all coming around, I believe one of them even says, like, there was a trail of bodies left by these two guys leading all the way here. Like, they're being stupid.
Yeah. Yep. But, you know, I guess maybe it's the because I was talking to Simon. I was like, I bet you they were, like, running from the mafia or from the mob or whatever. Like, they did something against the mob, and that's why they're running. That's why they're staying in small towns and not making any noise. Yeah.
According to IMDb, the two actors, which I think only one of them actually had got named the entire time, Billy, allegedly made their own backstory for these guys. And their backstory was the older guy was the younger guy's uncle that had just gotten him out of jail or prison. And he was taking him across country. That makes no sense. But yeah, I don't know.
So the actors were just as smart as the criminals. Is that what you're saying?
Kinda. Now, it's also one of those things where I wish I would have maybe read the comic or the graphic novel to have a more understanding. Because this apparently in the comic, this takes place in Michigan and not Indiana. There was, I think, Richie was Tom's friend and not brother, or Joey's friend and not brother. And I think there was something else, but I don't really recall. But yeah, it's, I still feel like I, after even watching this and still enjoying it, I do kind of want to find the comic and read the comic just to see a lot of differences.
Yeah, that's fair.
But yeah,
But exactly. Yeah, so like when they're sitting there, okay, so like we get the, you know, like Tom and his wife, Edie, and then their kids, Jack and Sarah. And like we get a pretty good build up for them prior
was
to
it Sarah?
I'm pretty sure.
Can we talk
Sarah.
About her real quick? And how and I'm not trying to make fun of this little girl, but she was a terrible actress.
Yeah, well, I mean, she was also young, and this is probably like the only movie she ever did, or something, you know.
No, she actually had like 9 roles. This was like somewhere in the middle.
Oh.
She had like a couple roles on TV. This may have been her first film. Let me double check that. But yeah, it wasn't just like her first kind of beginning. Parts was just kind of rough.
Well, it was like they were just like feeding her the lines instead of like having her actually act out the lines.
Okay,
which I don't know.
This was her first movie. She did 2 episodes on Doc, a TV show in 2004. This is Wonderland, a TV series in 2005. Then she did 2 more TV things after that, a TV short, a TV movie, 2 TV movies. And then she was her last movie, Dennis the Menace, Christmas in 2007. And then she, I guess, just stopped acting.
Well, I mean, you know, like not all kids can act, you know?
No.
And when you get like little kids in there, it's pretty hit or miss. But this one almost felt like they were literally just sitting there feeding her lines and then like. But also, like when you first meet the whole family, when she wakes up. Like, they all seem like really bad actors at that point in time.
They did. They really did.
It was like that scene was really forced.
And I'm wondering if that was the first scene and like, oh, this is how you guys get comfortable. By supporting the little girl. And it's, first off, like, I get the parents coming up because she had a bad nightmare. But why did Jack rush into the room? Outside of being a good brother, but like all of them didn't need to run in there.
Yeah, but that was to show us that they're such a close family. Even though Jack's kind of a little bit of a nutcase.
Like I did his way of de-escalating the situation with that one bully, which David, not David, whatever the bully's Bobby, maybe.
Yeah, something like that.
Like I thought that was funny in the locker room. I also thought it was very interesting that this guy got really pissed off that he caught a ball in gym class.
Yeah. For a baseball game in gym class, that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he's already going to, I mean, I understand he was probably picking on him constantly, but like, and this would be another like notch in the, I'm going to give you a giant wedgie mark, but like, he's all cocky. He hits the baseball. And it, also, I was a little weird, not really weirded, but I don't remember having a lot of equipment whenever we did baseball. I remember the gloves. I remember the bat. Didn't remember.
Yeah, I don't even remember having. I don't even remember having the gloves.
I remember the gloves. I think.
But I also don't remember playing softball in gym class. So.
But that's the other thing. They were throwing it like a softball, but that was a baseball he caught.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
So, but you're like, we did softball or baseball or whatever. I think it actually was softball, and I believe Kinsey, Colonel Kinsey, was the one that was pitching, if I remember correctly. Anyway, but no, like he catches the ball in gym class, like you're supposed to, finishes the game, and then he starts picking on him in the locker room. And like I said, the de-escalation he did was great. Like he basically just turned everything this guy was saying to him back around on him and got the crowd on his side for a second, only to then later on when he comes up and picks on him again, and this is after the alleged my dad is not really my who he said he is thing, and then he all of a sudden is just going to beat him down?
Yeah. I mean, I guess it was maybe to show that the kid was under a lot of stress from everything that happened. But, like, at no time ever did Tom, Viggo Mortensen's character, his dad, act like he was disappointed in his son for not being tough or anything.
Yeah. Like, he was happy like, with the way his kid was. Which he should be. Like, that's just his kid.
Yeah,
but then again, maybe he wasn't paying as much attention as we thought he should, or he thought he was. Because
I guess
I don't know. It just that, and then I mean, and I did appreciate or did laugh at when the two guys from the beginning come into town, and the dipshit kid was gonna try and like, I don't know, like run him over with his car.
He was doing a U-turn so he could go beat him up. Is what he had said.
Sure.
But he did a U-turn from the far right lane.
Look, all the way around. Look, things in Indiana. So that
I mean, I guess that's true. Yeah.
That makes sense. But no, I just appreciated like the two guys in their truck just staring at the kid, and the kid's like flips them off like, dipshit, what are you doing that way? And they just kind of stare him down like
Until he pusses out and yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I do, because that just kind of reminds me of all of the crashing videos that we send to everybody in the group chat. My algorithm has been screwed because of that.
When Tom goes into the diner for the first time, and Pat and Mike or Mick or something are in there.
Yeah.
And they're talking about their crazy girlfriends. And he's like, oh, yeah, the one used to stab me the fork. I was like, man. When I found out Chuck wasn't going to be here, I was really sad. So shout out to Chuck's exes for that one, because that just sounds like a girl that Chuck would be in love
honestly,
with.
Honestly, kind of. Yeah, it sounds like somebody he would definitely have dated and had a long relationship with, like this guy. He was married for like 6 years, I think he said.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good times. Good times. But then we get the scene where, like we just said, the guys had come rolling into town. They go into the diner, and Tom
tells them they're closed because they were closing.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, sorry, fellas. You know,
I think the sign even said closed.
Yeah. The open sign was flipped around to where the closed would have been on the outside of it.
Mm-hmm. But they come in, they sit down, they order the coffee and the pie, and after he yells, then he's like, yeah, okay, I guess we'll do this. Whatever. And Tom is keeping his cool the entire time. Tells Debbie? Charlotte?
Catherine? I think it was Catherine.
Whatever her name was.
His waitress.
I think her actual name, like the actress's name is Deb. That's what I was getting confused by. Tells her to be like, all right, hey, you know, you can... Charlotte. Charlotte's her name.
Charlotte. There it is.
Samsonite. I was way off. Charlotte was her name. Deborah's her real name. Tells her she can go home. The one guy, like, stops her and then does a creepy little like
grabs her tit, sort of
kind of like rubs it down and sniffs. Apparently, according to IMDb, those two actors came up with that themselves. So,
okay,
why, yeah, I don't know. Why the director let that film that and thought that was a good idea to keep that is weird, but okay, whatever.
Yeah, maybe they just paid those actors less because they let them make up all their own stuff.
I mean, they were in the movie for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
They weren't in the movie very long. But yeah, then we have the first outburst of violence.
Yeah, he's like, oh, Billy, why don't you go ahead and show him that we're serious?
Yeah.
And he pulls a gun on this chick. Like, literally, I mean, what the fuck do these guys think? They're just going to shoot up the whole diner and then leave?
That's what we're led to believe, because that's what they kind of did at the motel.
Yeah.
You know,
but they picked the wrong diner, and Tom opens up a fucking can of whoop ass on him.
Yeah, pretty awesomely. Like, he did a really good, like, it was really, really cool.
Other than getting stabbed in the foot.
Which, yeah. I feel like because of who he was and who he had become, maybe because he'd been there for 20 years and he had just kind of let it out. Yeah, he probably just didn't think like, oh, I probably shouldn't. Not that he shouldn't do this. Like, obviously, he's trying to protect himself, but I don't think he expected the notoriety that he got as quickly as it came. I also would like to know. I mean, they were Ed Harris's group. They were driving a Cadillac. How that made it from Philly to Millbrook, fake town in Indiana, which I'm assuming is southern Indiana, but whatever. How it made it there in 16 hours in one night. Because
from Philadelphia?
From Philadelphia.
Yeah, that's about right, because it only takes it takes 10 hours to get to South Carolina or North Carolina.
In the same night. Like, because he gets stabbed.
Oh, you mean from the time? Okay, yeah.
From the time the news got made, like it became newsworthy, which, again, how they got Indiana news in Philly, I don't know. Unless
it made national news.
Well, sure, and maybe it did, but because that's something like that would. But then getting from Philly to Millbrook in 15 to 16 hours, because that's how long Tom took to get from there to Philly, and he drove literally the whole time. My other thought is they were out and about looking, out about and around, and
they were in
Richie
Chicago.
Got a hold of them. That could be it. That could be possible. That makes sense. I don't know. I question that, because it definitely sounded like they came straight from Philly.
Yeah,
but here we are.
Here we are indeed. But when that dude, he walks in the diner and he's like, yeah, you know who I am, Joey. And then he like pulls up his sunglasses and he's got the mangled eye. And like, yeah. It was just, it was stupid. Because he didn't, like, Viggo didn't even react to it. He's just like, oh, well, that sucks. No, I don't know who Joey is. Sucks about your eye, mister.
Yeah, he, and I get that's what they're going for. He's trying to not show his hand, which then, you know, obviously crumbles there later on when he actually does. But it definitely felt like, I don't know, I did kind of, and maybe it's because I was thinking about what was in IMDb, in this scene in particular, Ed Harris apparently was filming this without any pants on, so Viggo just kept cracking up, and they had to redo the scene multiple times.
Why did he not have pants on?
Just because, I guess. I don't know.
I'm a method actor.
I like Ed Harris. I really loved him in Westworld, and I mean, he's a really good actor. But yeah, no, like you're right. Like this, he's adamant that this guy is who he's looking for, that Tom is Joey. And when, even after Tom said no, and then they got the sheriff involved, still just was adamant and like coming to the house. I know when Tom walked to the diner like the next day and then saw
on
the
his
car,
stabbed foot.
Yeah, saw the car and then ran home. All while, and he called Edie, his wife, and while she's trying to get the shotgun ready, he apparently made it home in that time. I understand that's probably just the way that they filmed it or the way they had presented it, but they're presenting it like he's running while she's trying to find the shotgun. He's getting closer while she's getting the shells, and yeah. it that one was a little rough on me.
Unless maybe it's not as far away as we think it is.
And that's possible. But even that, to get the shotgun, to get the shells, even in a panic, give her 10 minutes. Okay?
Sure, right? 5 minutes maybe. Probably.
I was being generous.
Okay.
Even running with a hurt foot, 20 minutes? Because she drove him to work the other day, like day one.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't really give us a time frame on how long that was, but I don't know.
It was one of those weird things, because if he was close enough to walk, why didn't he walk the day before?
Exactly. When he actually had a good foot.
And also, when exactly does his diner open? Because he was in there at way after sunrise.
Yep.
And they were still closed.
Nobody was there. Yeah. Also, I wasn't sure, but it definitely felt like he just walked through the open window. Like, I don't know if the window, like, he took down the board of the door, like, because the guy that got killed went through and broke the window. I don't know if he got the window replaced, but it definitely felt like he just walked right through the open window to chase.
Well, I mean, they looked at him through that door.
Yeah. Oh, did they? Okay.
So, I mean, either he replaced it he had taken it down and was.
Or he just left the door open. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. That felt very like on par with things, because in the mall, when Edie is with Sarah trying to find new shoes, and when Sarah just kind of wanders out of the store, the lady's like, "Ma'am, I can't let you leave the store without you with those shoes on." And so she kicks them off, but she leaves her purse.
Yeah.
And then gets Sarah, has a bit of a confrontation with Fogarty.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then walks off without shoes, without a purse.
Well, she was walking back the way she came from.
No, she wasn't. No, she wasn't.
Because she went around the corner, didn't she?
No, I don't think she did. I thought it was like diagonal from where she was. And she
I thought when she walked out, she had to go over. Oh, maybe that's what it was.
I wasn't paying too much attention at that point.
That's fair.
Let's see here.
When Edie first finds out what happened, and she's like hugging Tom and crying, she gets snot on his like shirt, and then like rubs her face right into it. And I'm just
a little gross, but you know, it's fine. Is that toward the end when?
No, it was like it was just after the shooting, but like when he gets home after like he freaks her out with the whole the gun thing.
Oh, and, gotcha. Yeah.
And she like gives him a hug.
Okay.
But so their kid Jack that we sort of just, does he give off like Jesse Eisenberg vibes to you?
See, I've got a little more respect for Jesse Eisenberg.
I meant as far as like, he's like a wish Jesse Eisenberg.
Okay, yes. I'll give you that one. He definitely was.
Or I guess we'd say a Temu Jesse Eisenberg now.
Or the Temu, because they changed the name for whatever reason.
Yeah, I don't know.
Which is stupid. Temu's better.
I won't buy anything from him, so it doesn't matter either way.
I mean, I think I bought like one thing off of Wish, and I'm like, kind of regretted that I bought it, because I think it broke after like a week or two. But yeah, I won't buy anything off of Timu because it's literally Wish.
I got two really good things from Wish. Okay. I got a set of pens I still have some of them. And they had sent me two sets of them because one of them didn't show up. So then they sent me the other one, and then they both showed up.
Yeah.
And then I got these little magnets that I still use on my fridge, but it also took, over a year for the pens to get to me.
Jesus.
And then the magnets showed up like a month before I moved out of my old house, and I had ordered them like probably the first couple months I'd lived in the house. So
you were there for a bit.
Almost 3 years, I think.
I take it back. I'm looking at the other thing I bought. I don't remember what the first thing was I bought, but I bought some One Piece, like, I don't know, two and a half to 3-inch figures, standee figures that I have over there that, I mean, it looks cool. Like, they look awesome. But, yeah, I bought those off of Wish. I think they came in, like, 2 months. Maybe three. Whatever. Yeah, but no, you're right. I don't think I want to buy anything off of Timu.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. Yeah, I could say the kid looks like a Timu Jesse Eisenberg.
So when they get into the altercation at the house, like after the whole gun thing, and then like right after that, they show up there, right? Well, it's a little bit after that.
It's when you say they show up there.
The Fogarty and his two goons.
Gotcha. Yeah, they have the altercation at. Let's see here. Because I'm trying to think. It wasn't. No. Yeah. It was at the mall. And that she meets with him at the mall, has the thing. She leaves. Jesse. No, not Jesse. Jack gets.
Jack and Tom get into an argument.
Yeah. Jack gets suspended because he got in that fight. Well,
yeah.
Fight. Kind of.
Yeah. There wasn't much fighting on the other half of that. Like.
And then he gets suspended for that. Tom yells at Jack and then goes up to his room, I think. And Tom just kind of doesn't check on him at all. And then, yeah, then we have then Fogarty comes back and has Jack, like some,
in
at
the
some
car,
point,
yeah.
Jack left and they picked him up.
Yeah. Which, like I said, that didn't make any sense to me either, because, like, the kid knew what was going on. Why would he fucking run out of the house?
Well, especially at this point in time. Like, they've already figured out that these guys are mob. Like,
yeah.
And they are deep mob. I think the one guy was indicted for, like, 6 counts or something. Another one was, like, 6 counts or 3 counts or something. Like, everybody has been to jail. They are mob. And so, like, the sheriff was even saying, if these guys think you're him, like, you're probably him, right?
Yeah.
You're probably Joey. Yeah. And they're like, no, I don't know who this Joey is. No idea. No idea. So it's already in the mind of the family. Oh, these guys are after my husband, my father, because he is this somebody that they know. And so this, we've already had the one spurt of violence at the diner where he killed those two guys. We haven't had anything else. So outside of him rushing home to have the shotgun moment with Edie, and he's kind of freaking out, and he explains to Jack, hey, like, what did he say? Something along the lines of, like, if these guys were to show up, I'm going to show them. Like, I'm basically stand up to him.
Yeah.
Which then spurs Jack to do the bullying.
I feel like his was more like anti-bullying.
Well, it was that's the other thing. And yes, I agree with you. But like, this Bobby was definitely bullying him psychologically.
For a long time.
And I mean, just psychologically longer. Earlier on, he was definitely pushing him in the locker room, like,
yeah,
he was egging him on.
He got physical with him.
So the fact that Jack stood up for himself and got suspended definitely leads me to believe this is Indiana.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. But yeah, so after this, he's getting upset. He has a spurt of being mad. And then Tom is yelling at him for standing up for himself. But I still don't understand why he decided to just leave the house.
Well, it was after Tom slapped him.
But I thought he just went upstairs. I didn't think he left.
No, he left. He went out the door.
Oh, did he?
But
I missed that part then.
Well, I guess he went out because they were in the kitchen, maybe?
They were inside.
Yeah, so he went from one room to another, and you don't get to see what happens after that. But okay. Regardless, like, you know, we get the altercation where, you know, Tom ends up, like, breaking that one dude's nose and then killing the other dude. And
no, he didn't kill him. If he had killed him, he'd gone to jail.
No, he definitely killed him.
Oh, you said Tom. You said Tom. Sorry, I was still with Jack. I was still with Jack.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, Tom killed all of them.
Yeah, well, I mean, Jack killed Fogarty. Like,
yeah, God, yeah, he did.
Blew his spine out. I mean, come on. But like, you get this, like, at that point in time, you know, they don't even like anything about it other than the like the sort of hug thing that happens between him and Tom and Jack, right? Yeah. And then it all goes away again.
Well, what do you
like,
mean?
Well, like there's no cop involvement like that we see on screen. You know, nothing like about like, oh, the, you know, somebody came and got the bodies, you know, this or that or the other.
Yeah, because the sheriff, like when we see the sheriff next time, he's talking to Tom, and he's like, yeah, these kind of what I said before, these guys are serious. If they think you're him, they would have definitely made sure you were him. So, like, what happened? Outside, I mean, he had to have gone to the hospital. He was shot in the shoulder.
Yeah.
Which means cops were called, ambulance was called, because next time we see him, he's laying in bed, in the hospital bed, when Edie shows up and is like, so, I need you to tell me the truth. Are you Joey? And that's when we get the revelation that, oh no, I killed Joey. Like, I haven't been him for like before I met you. And then she's like, oh my God, my life's a lie.
Everything's a lie. You don't even really love me. I'm just here because, you know,
is your name even Tom Stahl? No, we just literally just figured that out. It's not Tom.
So my kids, everything, nothing is anything. And it's just like, I mean, like you could tell that he obviously seriously loved her. But he didn't want her to have to deal with any of that past shit.
Because that's baggage that she didn't need. And exactly. He even said that he was truly dead. I didn't start living until I met you. Which is a nice romantic thing you see in any romance movie. How is it when it's in this drama, it's a bad thing?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it wasn't quite as romantic as the 69 earlier on in the movie, but you know.
I mean, that was kind of hot.
That was nice.
The cheerleader outfit, that was kind of cool.
See, the cheerleader outfit didn't do it for me.
No, I mean, it's just, like, I know it was just a hot scene. Yeah. But
well, it was so that because she's like, oh, we're gonna relive our teen years.
Yeah, because they didn't have teen years together. So
yeah,
which again adds to the whole. You are definitely in the Midwest because. More often than not, if you are together in high school, you're still together now.
Yeah.
More often than not. Obviously, yeah. I'm divorced. You're divorced.
Yeah.
Chuck so maybe would be we're maybe if he had married his
maybe high maybe we're killing that that stereotype right
Woo-hoo!
There. But all that happens, and then like he gets, you know, they have the sex scene on the stairs.
Yeah, which I found out in the IMDb, Cronenberg, the director. Asked the stunt people if they had some pads, like some like just something to help protect them while they're having sex on the stairs, and all the stunt guys just kind of laughed at him because that's the first time they've ever been asked if there was padding they could put on the stairs because they're wooden stairs, you know.
Yeah.
And Yeah, so like when we see the bruises on Edie's back, well, Maria's back, those were actual bruises from that scene. So, which they were very violent, if I'm being honest. Like, it was very, really rough in that scene.
I mean, yeah, I think that's kind of what she was going for, but
it was, but like, even rougher than I was expecting. Like,
yeah, that's fair.
Especially when like he gets home and she was that, yeah, that was right after the sheriff came in, right?
Yeah,
yeah,
yep.
So, sheriff shows up, she sides with him, even after like kind of blowing him off at the hospital. Oh, sorry, you were gonna say.
Yeah, no, I was agreeing with you. Yeah, she like, you know, she sides with Tom and the sheriff leaves, and then Tom tells her thank you, and then she like freaks out on him, and he tries to, yeah, and he tries to stop her from like going upstairs, and she slaps him, and I was really worried he was gonna get actually violent with her there for a second.
Because he grabs her neck like immediately.
Yeah.
And then it got freaky, and she was into it.
But yeah, because he pulls away, and then she pulls him back towards her.
So I think this is a side of her that she actually was excited about, which may explain some stuff later, but we'll get to that. But yeah, so they have that scene. She goes off into get a shower,
I guess. Yeah. Because that's when we get to see her actually naked.
We do have a nude scene, so we got that on the bingo. And then, like, she's sleeping in the bed, and he's sleeping on the couch. Okay. So, that makes sense.
Apparently, the makeup sex wasn't good enough.
Well, it wasn't good makeup. Yeah. I guess next time, don't have makeup sex on the stairs. I don't know.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean.
So, yeah. then we get a phone call. Tom gets a phone call from Richie, his brother, basically saying, hey, you should come to Philly. We got to talk.
Hey, I haven't seen you in a long time. Why don't you come and say hi, huh?
So he does. And like I said earlier, it takes 16 hours to get there. He meets up with a guy named Ruben at this bar. Then Ruben takes him to where Richie is. And apparently Richie's pissed because killing Fogarty. No. Wounding Fogarty 20 years prior kind of screwed over Richie in the mob scene.
Joey, you cost me so much money and time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like, dude, you could have just let it be. Literally could just let it be. This guy, he had left everything. He had just kind of
disappeared.
Yeah. But no, you had to come. It's literally the Hulk situation where if you had just left Bruce Banner be, Hulk would not come out. If you had let Tom be, Joey wouldn't come out and kill you and your men.
Right? Like, and the fight, how could you fuck that up? How did you fuck that up? Like when he's talking to the dude laying on the ground before he shoots him?
Yep.
It wasn't Ruben's fault that he fucked it up. It was Richie's fault because he kept eyeballing Ruben like, do it now. Do it now.
And then he turned the chair around to not look. Like, that's I understand the classic villain thing is to not see the hero get killed. I'm not calling Tom a hero. He's not.
I mean, technically he's the hero of our film, but you know.
But like, yeah, like Ruben comes up. We see him in the background getting the piano wire ready. But from the sounds of it, Tom or Joey was this amazing assassin back in the day. And he's not like he may have turned it off, but it's still deep programming in his head. He knows.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they saw that at the diner, you know, and at the with fucking Fogarty. But more to the point, there's the other bodyguard that just stands there.
Exactly. Like, oh, I guess I should probably just watch him as he kills Joey. Not going to help him out. Oh, they're on the ground now? Huh. I should get up. Nope. He's got this. And he kicks him in the face and then shoots him. Shoots the other guard. Like, oh, no, he breaks the other guard's nose. That's what he does.
Or no, stomps on his throat.
Yeah, but that's after he gets on the ground. Like he.
Yeah, because he. No, that's sure. That's the.
Or does he? The guy he that, do the throat the hands.
Yeah, throat. He throat chops him, and then like he gets behind him, throws him on the ground while he's fighting the other dude, and then he just goes there and stomps his throat.
And then there's Richie, which I will give like William Hurt's fine. Yeah, I don't. He's not a bad actor, but that beard he had was terrible. No mustache.
It was as bad as it was as bad as his aim.
Right? And this is supposed to be a mob boss?
You know who doesn't get their hands dirty, apparently.
Ever. Or has it in 20 years, it sounds like. But yeah, he's shooting at Tom. As soon as the gunfire starts happening, a third bodyguard comes rushing in, which Tom catches real quick and just like blows him away. And then rushes out the door. And then the last bodyguard comes in and there's Richie like yelling at the one guy, shoots him, and the other guy's like, what should I do? Huh?
What are you gonna do? Give him mouth? Go catch Joey. Come on.
I'm assuming he was probably the worst of the mob bosses there in Philly.
And he was just using Joey as his crutch to be like, oh, you're the reason why I didn't get anywhere.
Yeah, because if his henchmen are anything, they weren't anything.
So would you consider his brother trying to kill him a betrayal by a friend?
Yeah, actually, I think I would. Because they were obviously in the same business for a long time and were friends. And he seemed friendly at first, only to then turn on him. So after this scene, like, he kills everybody.
He goes and washes himself off in some water behind his brother's house.
Yeah, why in the lake or in the pond behind the house and not in the house?
Yeah, who knows? Maybe it's because he was throwing the gun in there and he just figured he'd wash off while he was there.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, yeah.
But then he gets home and the family's sitting down to having some meatloaf, which looked raw.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
I definitely would not be eating that meatloaf.
But like, and he walks in and they're just sitting there and Edie won't look him in the eye, doesn't even look at him. The little girl finally is the first person to look at him, brings out his plate and his silverware.
Yep. Puts so then on he table. Sits.
Then he sits down, and she like leaves after she brings out the plate and the silverware.
No, she sits like, back down.
I thought she got up and walked away.
No, she's sitting there messing with the potatoes, not eating.
Oh, that's right. And then Jack like hands him over the meatloaf, and he takes a piece of it.
The uncooked.
And then, and then Edie looks up and she's crying, and then. We get over to Tom Joey, and he's crying, and then the movie ends.
Yeah, like, you could have at least, because I think I read it on either IMDb or on Wikipedia. Like, in the comic, he states that, like, he looks at Edie, and he says it's over. They basically saying, hey, like, we don't have to worry about that life anymore, which... I'm thinking, unless you're taking out the whole entire mob, you're not. It's not over, my dude.
I mean, unless Richie was the only one that actually knew what was going on.
Well, and Richie may have been the only one that actually cared. Again, like you said, he's blaming everything on Joey, and once Joey's dead, he can maybe finally start to move up the ranks because he was blaming his stagnant. What's the stall, basically not moving up the hierarchy. He blamed it where he was on Joey. And so maybe the other mob bosses just didn't really care if he's out of the picture, not dead, just gone, not in the life, fine, whatever. I was expecting something like that, like just a dialogue of like, everything's fine now, kind of thing. But
or any kind of dialogue at all.
Yeah, because the way it sounds like it she might be taking him back, but we don't know. It's very ambiguous. So I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, we don't, like I said, it leaves it too open, and it really, like, that just kind of was like, oh, so we, what, ran out of, like, time, or just felt like, you felt like that look was enough to convey any kind of closure, and it wasn't.
No, especially wasn't, especially after the makeup sex to her being very, like, I don't want you near me after the shower scene, and she leaves. And then the next scene is her in bed and him on the couch. Like, there's no actual, like, there was nothing between them to say, hey, we're going to be a family again. Outside of the kids bringing the plate over and bringing the meatloaf over. Like,
yeah,
they want everything to go back to normal. I don't know. So, but that's kind of the movie. Yeah. That's
yeah. A history of violence. The only other note that I have is when they're sitting there at breakfast and the little girl goes to take a drink out of her cup and sticks her hand inside the cup. And then and I'm like, what the fuck?
Like, you are at least 9, 7. I don't know how old you are. You know, how
even if she's only 5 or 6, like
you hold it with 2 hands at that age.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, I noticed that too, and I had to chuckle. But okay. Well, that's the movie.
Yeah.
Our kill count, I got a total of 13 for a
damn.
For a history of violence, there's not a lot of violence.
Right? Not compared to like
Batman? Yeah, we gotta bring it up since Chuck's not here. Yeah, and that's I think outside of one, I think the one that Jack killed, the rest were killed by Tom.
No, that's not true.
Oh, because the three at the beginning. Yeah.
Never mind. Yeah.
So out of 13, Tom killed 9.
Yeah. Okay. So we did have for the boob count, we did have 2 boobs. Finally got this back on the list since, you know, this is the first one since what, Conan?
Oh man, it has been a minute, hasn't it? Shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no limbs that got lost, so that we saw. So no limb count there. I guess if we go with Chuck's. Oh wait, no, you gotta do bingo. You gotta do bingo first.
Yeah. So we got the product placement with the mug root beer twice.
Yep.
We got nudity or implied nudity. We got hero kills, sexual innuendos, origin reveal, not a flashback, but a reveal. Like we
because they talked about it.
Yep. And betrayal by a friend.
Okay. Hey, so we got bingo.
Barely. Yeah.
Chuck's Spawn Continuum will be held until next week because he's not here. Also, I don't think there was a lot of special effects in this one.
No, but they did a pretty decent job with the practical effects.
Yeah.
Like, as far as
when Ed Harris got his whole body blown to bits, like, that was cool.
Yeah.
Like, they did a really good job with that. I think then
that's pretty much it, other than our ratings.
That's it. Yeah. What did you get? I should probably bring up my calculator and the actual stuff.
Okay. So the movie was pretty decent. Like, other than the end, like, the movie wasn't bad. Like, it had an okay storyline. I mean, it wasn't great. Like, there were some plot holes and stuff, but, you know.
I will admit, I was bored a little bit, like, in the beginning.
Yeah,
but, after the diner scene, I'm like, okay, this isn't bad.
It got interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, it wasn't terrible. And, of course, it gets points because there was nudity.
Always a plus for you.
Yeah, exactly. Viggo Mortensen's ass was, like, spot on.
It was right there. I mean, yeah, I think you also see that in Hidalgo, too, if I remember correctly.
I think you're right. But I don't think it's an ass. I think it's an actual horse. It's a Mustang, I'm pretty sure.
Boom, ching.
But, like, other than the ending that was really crappy and, like, some, you know, minor shit, I gave it a 5.8. Like, I thought it was, like, I will probably never watch it again, but it was still pretty good.
Yeah.
right. What about you?
Yeah, no, I'm kind of right there with you. Like, this wasn't a terrible movie. It outside of, I agree with you with the end there. Like, I don't know what is happening. That was very ambiguous, and I kind of was annoyed. It almost felt like they were hoping for a sequel to come out of this. Maybe not the movie, because I don't think they, maybe that was supposed to be one of the sequel for the comic, and this was just the ending they had for the comic.
Sure.
But more, like, I don't know.
They left us wanting a better ending.
Kinda, yeah.
Like, at least bit of closure.
Closure is the main thing. But like I said, I got a little bored in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Not like that, especially after the opening scene of, hey, I'm going to go to the office. You bring the car around. And it's literally just the length of my basement.
Yeah.
Like, the hell you doing, dude?
It wasn't even the full length of the car that he moved the car.
No, it wasn't. I will say, seeing the screen door on that motel, though, definitely took me back to the 90s, because I believe one of the screen doors at my house had that same like pattern.
Yeah, so
that was kind of fun. No, the action was really good. The action scenes we had, William Hurt apparently had an Oscar nomination for this movie, even though he was only in it for like 10 minutes. Yeah,
really?
Makes no sense. Yeah, I don't know. It was a supporting actor, but an Oscar nomination for that.
Yeah.
Obviously, he didn't win because it was just a nomination. But, like, his facial hair annoyed the piss out of me. That was kind of
100%.
I loved Ed Harris. I thought Ed Harris was really good in this role. And the violence that we did see, like, anytime he did the throat chop and then, like, the nose into the skull, looked awesome. Looked amazing.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It was great.
Yeah. But I'm kind of with you, though. Like, I would watch this again. I just don't know. Probably not anytime soon. But I gave it a 5.9, which gives us a combined score of 5.85, which, honestly, it's not bad.
Yeah.
I'd be interested to see if Chuck actually does end up watching this, what he would give it. And knowing him, come next week when he's back, if he's back, and he's not poisoned anymore, he'll probably be like, all right, to start out, I got to give my score for History of Violence and skew the whole thing. But no, that currently puts it at number 37 out of 88 movies. It's just behind Blade 2 at a 5.87 and just above Batman Returns at a 5.83.
Yeah, that's about right.
It's not a bad spot. But it also is one of those things where I would probably watch Blade 2 and Batman Returns again before I watch this movie, which is
interesting. Yeah, same.
So
I mean, I've seen Blade 2 a handful of times, so.
Yeah. Well, I was also, Barbarella is at a 5.88. I definitely would watch that over this.
Yeah, 100%.
Barbarella was fun.
Or at least parts of it.
Yeah, fair. Actually, funny enough, because Emily was on that with us, right?
Way back, yes.
It was just,
uh-huh.
Yeah.
No, I'm pretty sure it was you and I and Emily. Yeah.
Well, I thought we had Jordan on that one as well. I think it was the four of us.
That sounds right. I'd have to get my book out to see, but yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, that's early, so like it's, you have to get to a whole different book. Anyway, like I remember randomly going up to her at work one day, and she was just watching it again. So like it's one of those movies. Barbarella is one of those movies where it's a fun, weird movie. Like, you could definitely watch it. Just put it on the background sometime. But anyway. So, yeah, that is it for that. Where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram and TikTok at Good at This Game. You can find my art page on Instagram at Good Art This Game. And obviously here on our Comic Book Rundown. What about you, Joey?
You guys can find me on Twitter at Comic Rundown, on Instagram, Comic Book Rundown, Actually, you know what? Fuck that Twitter. You guys can find me on Instagram and Threads, Comic Book Rundown. Twitter sucks. Elon Musk is a bitch. Yep. What was I doing? Oh, email us, comicbookrundown@gmail.com. Rate and review us on our podcasting app of choice. If you do, we'll read it on upcoming episode. We've got merch over on Redbubble and TeePublic, and our song was done by Cam. Our next movie is going to be Star Wars Episode 2. Nope. Star Wars, the Clone Wars movie, because we already did Episode 2.
Yeah.
But we're doing, because I'm a shrill for whatever, we're going to be doing the Clone Wars movie, and we're going to be doing the Star Wars Clone Wars animated series that's only like 2 hours long. It's those, like, the tiny ones that got put together.
Like on the ones where we get introduced to Ahsoka?
No, this one didn't have Ahsoka in it.
I'll have to see. Is it on Disney Plus?
It's on Disney Plus. I'll have to find it on there. It's because I think it was the one Chuck was talking about being the 5-minute episodes that came out that explained something, Grievous and other stuff. I don't know. He wanted to watch it, so I'm like, yeah, fine, whatever. So we're doing both. Although I should just say we're doing the movie and say fuck all the other ones. I specifically said movies.
I don't know. That's all right.
It is what it is. But they're both on Disney Plus, so I'll take like a screenshot and send them to you. So gotcha. You know what we're doing. That being said, thank you all for listening, and we will catch you next time.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this show, check out all the other great shows here at the Professional Casual Network. Like what, Danny?
I'll tell you. On Mondays, we've got the Lost Omens podcast, our Pathfinder 2E actual play, hosted by me, playing through the Extinction Curse AP. Also, streaming on twitch.tv/professionalcasualnetwork at 7 p.m. Eastern time, you can check out, oh yeah, The Power Phase, our Marvel Crisis Protocol live battle report show. On Tuesdays, the podcast version of Wait, Did I Roll a Wild? Our Marvel Crisis Protocol Povlog is available. On Wednesdays, alternating releases on the Patreon, we have Settling the Southlands, our homebrew Wolfthorpe actual play, and The Slithering, a Pathfinder 2nd edition actual play. And on Thursdays, live at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on twitch.tv/professionalcasualnetwork, we've got Wait, Did I Roll a Wild? Our Marvel Crisis Protocol Povlog.
You can also check out back episodes of Elite Eight Showdown and the first 39 episodes of the Lost Omens podcast, the first 24 episodes of Settling the Southlands, and the first handful of episodes of The Slithering on the YouTube at youtube.com/theprofessionalcasual.